present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. Before we start tonight's show, here is a small announcement.
Following the death last Friday of Dolly the clone sheep, the news quiz would like to pay tribute to an ovine that changed the world. Hailed as one of the greatest scientific breakthroughs of the 20th century, Dolly the sheep opened up the real possibility of a better future for all of humanity. More than this, however, we would like to recognize the special contribution she has made to us in the form of 700 jokes about confused sheepdogs, 83 references to the nocturnal habits of sheep-rearing folk, and 17 almost identical questions about sending in the clones. For this and much, much more, we thank her.
We start with a cutting seen in the Berkhamsted Gazette, read by Brian Perkins.
Upright organ, little recent use, ideal for parties, £140.
Thanks to Mr. P. Lazel for that. Let's meet the teams. Welcome first, please, on my right, Linda Smith and Mark Steele. Opposite them on my left, Andy Hamilton and a former producer of the news quiz, Armando Iannucci. Linda, who's been bashed by the bishops this week?
This is Tony Blair, who's had a pretty terrible week all round, actually. Started off with the march when, I'm not quite sure how many people, but I believe the Mail on Sunday said over a million, so it's probably about 20 million people. And now, to show just how wrong he's got the nation's mood, he's managed to annoy the Church of England. It's not a faith that gets annoyed that easily, really. Not without you willfully using confetti in the church. So, really, well, it's described as an attack of the bishops, but it's quite a mild attack as attacks go, isn't it? I mean, Tony Blair's tried to make a moral case for war, which is interesting, isn't it? It's like making a musical case for Phil Collins, but he's tried to do that, and the bishops have basically said, oh, steady on, I'm not sure about that. So that's the savage attack he's had from Rowan A. Williams, the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Someone told me that their mother was coming on it on a coach organised by a Catholic church. And then I just found out about an hour later that also going on the march was a group that had set itself up called Masturbate for Peace. That reckoned it had 9,500 members in 80 different countries formed on the internet. And I thought, well, that's where the trouble's going to be on the march if them two bump into each other. Disaster. I saw in one newspaper, this is the one that got me, because there's all sorts of people like Chris Eubank and Chris Evans and all sorts of people we wouldn't expect supporting the anti-war movement.
Lovely little Kylie.
Kylie, yeah. And most amazingly, I thought, Jimmy Hill. I don't know at what point you're in trouble as a government, but when Jimmy Hill's demonstrating against you from the left... I hope he was on the march, because instead of chanting, he'd have probably just been shouting constructive expert criticism, wouldn't he? The banner from Guildford is simply too far back to be effective.
I was there with a coach load of mass militants from Buckinghamshire, with huge placards saying... In this particular occasion, we think perhaps war might not be the best option. There were only three of us in the bus, but it was pretty full.
There was an interview with a lady bringing her family down on a train, and she said, well, I'm against attacking Saddam because, she said, I work with challenging children. She said, and I know that the answer is never confrontation. In other words, she was comparing the fairly complicated question of how the world deals with Saddam with a hyperactive three-year-old. And I did feel at that point that the march organisers ought to say, no, sorry, you're too stupid, go back up. You're discrediting the whole peace movement.
Well, I did think in Tony's speech in Glasgow when he was saying, well, yes, it's your democratic right to march, but of course you realise if you did this in Iraq, you'd all be tortured and murdered. Did you not feel there's a little twinge of envy?
Do you think if God said, I'm really against this war, Blair would say, look, I just think you're wrong.
The leaders of the UK's Anglican and Catholic churches issued a joint statement doubting the Prime Minister's moral case for the war. The Prime Minister initially sent John Prescott to see the church leaders, but Rowan carefully got past the Deputy Prime Minister by asking him to repeat the word archiepiscopal. Mark, why will education, education, education be falling on deaf ears this Easter?
Oh, this is your man Charles Clark, isn't it, who's not going to be going to the NUT conference. He's in a huff and he thinks...
Well, he's frightened of the teachers.
But he doesn't want to go because he thinks the teachers are unruly.
Mm. Yeah.
But if the teachers took that on, then they could presumably say, well, I'm not going to teach chemistry today.
Yeah.
To form 4B, don't like them.
Yeah.
Also, going to go home.
Also, if they get rowdy during his speech, he just says, I've got all night. I don't mind. I mean, that's...
It's your own time you're wasting.
And if some of them...
I've got plenty of books to mark. Hold on, that bell is for me, not for you.
It's scary, though. I mean, teachers, when they turn nasty, I mean, if you've ever been elbowed by someone with a corduroy jacket with an elbow patch, it is...
Vicious.
Any teachers in the audience, before I go any further... Any geography teachers?
Actually, I rather like the idea of Charles Clark becoming this creature of the shadows that doesn't go out. The phantom of the cabinet. I'm hidden.
Education Secretary Charles Clark said that neither he nor any of his ministerial team will attend the NUT annual conference this Easter. The union accused Mr. Clark of immaturity, but he immediately rebutted them by saying they smelled of poo. Armando, who's left his party in a right old state?
Well, there's none left. This is the Tories.
It is.
The Tories, there are none left. After two disastrous election defeats, there are a few remaining who are a sort of mutant strain of Tories that nothing will kill off. sort of the Khmer Tories, you know, the hard Tories. And they're having a split this week, of all weeks. I didn't realise you could split something that small. I thought if you did that, you got some sort of thermonuclear reaction, which would be terrible if a terrorist got hold of it. Split a Tory in the middle of London. let off a dirty Tory. But anyway, Ian Duncan Smith is left in charge of seven Tories, and he's decided none of them are good enough, so he's sacking them all. He sacked David Davis as chairman of the Tory party and replaced him with Theresa May. And Theresa May annoyed him by saying, do you know what people are saying about the Tory party? It's full of Tories. This has got to change. So he's going to sack her. He's sacked the modernisers in the Tory party. And he's bringing back the dead. John Redwood and that lot, the zombies.
I thought he'd gone back to the mothership.
No, he's left little eggs. Little eggs all over Middle England. There are little tiny John Redwoods are bursting out, making their way to Westminster. So that's it, really.
It is. There was talk John Redwood could be made the new party chairman, though he quickly turned down the offer when he heard he'd have to fill Theresa May's shoes.
Ian Duncan Smith is a sort of unsuccessful William Hague, isn't he?
Andy, listen to this.
I love Paris in the springtime. I love Paris in the fall.
Andy, who loves shopping in Paris?
Mrs. Mugabe, 2 points.
Correct, right.
In Paris, they are having a Franco-African conference. Now, what is that? I don't know, what do you do at a Franco-African conference? Instruct Africans on French cuisine or what? I don't know, what would there be to discuss? Anyway.
They were very French greetings, weren't they? He greeted most of the African premiers with big, great big snogs and tongues and je t'aime playing in the background. But rather a formal shake of the hands for Mr. Mugabe.
They invited Mr. Mugabe and he showed admirable restraint. They only booked the 33 rooms in the hotel. And Mrs. Mugabe was photographed shopping in a rather swanky shop. But unfortunately, her bodyguard resented the fact that people were trying to photograph her, so he spread-eagled his Macintosh to either side and stood in front of her. Yeah. Which created an unfortunate impression. It made it look as if Peter Tatchell had gone too far with his protest.
Jack Chirac provoked international condemnation by inviting Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe to Paris. Mind you, it's not the first time the French have caved in and given a notorious dictator the freedom of their capital. Oh, there will be letters. We start round two with a correction from the Otago Daily Times.
One of the instruments played by farmer Robin Mutch is a bouzouki, a Greek mandolin, and not a bazooka, as reported by...
Thanks to Timothy Davis for sending that in. Linda, for whom are the streets of London paved with gold?
Yes, congestion charge, which, well, I don't drive, so, whatever. To be honest, I mean, I'm sure there are quite valid objections to it, but what do these driver people want? Do they want just cars everywhere? And sometimes, but you get the idea, they resent even having to walk from their front door to the car. Would actually like to have drive-in houses where they can just drive their little cars all around the house, and then just, you know, so the whole world's just full of cars. It just can't go on. So until they start a Shanksy's pony tax, I think I'm all right, actually.
You can see what drives people to cars is just the state of the transport. And I know it's not an original thing, but 2 or 3 weeks ago, but I'm sure I saw the first snowflake land, and as it landed, everything. The first snowflake's landed, stop, it snowed. Who on earth could have believed there was such a thing in the middle of January, a snow, and then in the autumn they say, we can't have leaves, there's too many leaves on the track. It'd be like if a ferry company said, we couldn't send a boat out there, it was soaking wet.
But the congestion charge has cleared central London. And I think what it's done is it's flushed out all the undercover Al-Qaeda operatives lurking in the city centre. They've all just cleared out. And they've abandoned plans to blow up Westminster because it's going to involve a £5 surcharge. And they should drop congestion charges all over Baghdad. I think that's part of the war.
I think they should just bring in the random charge. I think that would be a great way to raise money for public projects. Don't bother with criteria whether someone's in a car or not. Just send inspectors out and just randomly charge people. I can't see how that could fail.
Yeah.
And it'd be very difficult to challenge in law, because if it's genuinely random, it's got to be fair, hasn't it?
So a system of state-sponsored highwaymen.
Basically.
I'll take away the charge and just call it the congestion experience.
But I'm sympathetic really with Linda's point of view over it, because there's only one place I've been to that's worse for congestion than London was Athens, where it is comical. And I was watching for about half an hour, the cars just sit there, they don't move at all. And then I realised that they don't go anywhere. I don't think any of the cars in Athens have even got engines in. I think what they do is they all get up in the morning and then they walk to their car and then they sit in the car and it's got a hoot and they just sit there all day. And then at 6 o'clock they all get up and go home again.
It's Turnagain Livingstone, whose congestion charge has thus far failed miserably to be the complete and utter disaster we all predicted. Until only a few years ago, Ken thought a congestion charge was the tenner a week he spends on Vic inhalers. Amanda, listen to this.
It's a nice day for a white wedding. It's a nice day to start again.
White Wedding by Billy Idol. Armando, who's reportedly asked Mummy for a hand in marriage?
Is this Prince Charles?
It is.
Who reportedly is going to have dinner with the Queen, which apparently is very rare. I didn't realise this. There is an old tradition, apparently, that any heir to the throne has to ask the reigning monarch's permission to marry. So he's going to ask the Queen if he can marry Camilla. Camilla's not sure about saying yes, because there's another old tradition, which is that all royal marriages are terrible.
Do you think it's like when we go to our mum's for dinner? Do you think she's there trying to force food on him and going, no, have another potato. I know what you're like. You're living on toast and pot noodles. Go on.
She doesn't even know that he's going out with Camilla yet. He hasn't broached that.
Do you think it'd be one of those awkward conversations where the Queen won't know what to say, so she'll blurt out, Charles has told me a lot about you.
But you're my son's mistress. That must be interesting for you. Actually, no, it mustn't.
What happened to that other girl you went out with? She was lovely.
By law, the prince has to have the Queen's permission to marry under the Royal Marriages Act of 1772 or the Wusses Act of 2003. Andy, who got the boot this week?
Well, in a grim week of news, I think we have to applaud people who took it upon themselves to cheer up the entire nation. Three cheers for Sir Alex Ferguson, because David Beckham's face was wounded by a freak accident of nature. Freak accident of nature. So I'm presuming what happened is like one of those tornadoes came into the Man U dressing room spinning, and it picked up this boot, and the boot flew across the room and it whacked David Beckham in the face. And it's a particularly unusual incident, because normally when a player gets hit in the face by a boot, Sir Alex Ferguson didn't see it. But he did see this one, although he said that he thought Beckham made the most of it. I think the answer to punish Sir Alex is to kind of give him a permanent health and safety man going around with him saying, oh, no, you mustn't lose your temper in confined spaces.
I love the way Posh sent him out in that Alice band. No, let him see what he's done, bastard.
She wants to take a resolution to the UN about Alice. This man must be disarmed.
After Manchester United's 2-0 defeat by Arsenal in the fifth round of the FA Cup, David Beckham was struck in the face by a football boot kicked by manager Alex Ferguson. Luckily, the boot struck David Beckham in the head and not anywhere important. Before we start the final round, here's a cutting from a party invitation.
Joyce Lawley and Didsbury Labour Party invite you to an afternoon garden party at 62 Bankside by the River Mersey. If you're passing, please drop in.
Thanks to Victoria Struthers for that. Linda, listen to this.
Well, I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had one long horn and one big eye. Like a Mr. Shaking in the city. It looked like a purple people eater to me. It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. One-eyed,
one-horned... How can a simple night's sleep be an out-of-this-world experience?
This is research into people who claim to have been abducted by aliens. Apparently, people who claim to have had these alien abduction experience all have one thing in common. They're all close friends of the Prime Minister's wife. That's the main thing. Now, apparently, they've all got this thing called sleep paralysis. Is that right, Simon?
Yeah.
Which is a thing where, it's paralysis while you're asleep, I suppose. So there's that, but apparently they share other characteristics which I feel maybe more significant, like a belief in the occult and tarot cards and all kinds of nonsense like that.
But this scientist was trying to claim that because all these people showed signs of stress, that proved that they weren't sexually interfered with by aliens. But if I had my genitals experimented upon by an intergalactic dessert spoon, I would show signs of stress.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, it depends what the experience is like, doesn't it? I'm not advocating that kind of experimentation, but I mean...
I actually did meet someone once who really believes in all this stuff. Reg Presley of the Troggs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did this...
Corn Circle.
Yeah, Corn Circle. He spent all his money from Lovies All Around on investigating corn circles and things. And on this same pop quiz was Paul Jones, who's now a born-again Christian.
Yeah.
And just as he's quite sort of grand lovey, and just as Paul Jones was leaving, Reg Presley sort of said to him, I believe you're a born-again Christian, ain't you? And he said, yes, I am. And Reg Pentry said, well, it might interest you to know that Jesus was a spaceman. It might interest you to know.
Well, if we're into name-dropping, I once saw Trevor McDonald buy some cheese.
And did he go, bong, Edam?
And finally,
a little bit of cheddar, just for half a little biscuit.
Now, Martin Bashir talking to Wensleydale.
Richard McNally of Harvard University this week said that alien abductions could be explained by a form of sleep disturbance. Mind you, your sleep would be disturbed if you'd been whisked off to the planet Tharg for a 17-hour bout of intense probing, only to be dumped stark naked on a lay-by off the A1 near Weatherby. I can tell you. Mark, how did a little weed help a student with his thesis?
Help a student with his thesis?
Someone's discovered a new weed.
Yes.
This isn't one of those bad American scientists again, is it?
No. It's a bad Scottish scientist.
A bad Scottish... A biologist or a biochemist or something was eating sandwiches about 30 years ago and discovered and saw a strange weed growing next to him. And then 30 years later came back and had sandwiches again and noticed that the weed had spread. I can't remember what kind of horticulture I was sitting in 30 years ago.
I must say, these Scottish scientists have fallen off rather over the years, haven't they? Fleming, you know, penicillin, yep. Hats off.
Yeah. this Scott scientist who noticed the weed growing, do we think he has a girlfriend?
I think we did
life?
Say scientist.
Dr. Richard Abbott, a plant biologist from St. Andrews University, has made a major evolutionary discovery. He found a new species of plant, a weed called the York groundsel, in the car park at York Railway Station. It's the first new species to have been created in Britain for over 50 years, apart from Jordan. Amanda, why is Edinburgh no laughing matter?
Ah, Glasgow smiles better. They send 100 people out around Britain's major cities to smile at other people and see who smiled back. And Glasgow and Bristol came out top, and our old enemy, Edinburgh, where sex is something you keep calling, came bottom, I think.
So you're proud that Glasgow came top in a poll to find out who does the most pointless smiling.
One has to clutch at straws.
Yes, it was, I think it was Comic Relief. They sent out researchers to smile at people. I hope these people have minders with them, because I wouldn't like to be told, just go on the London Underground and smile at people. I think that's dangerous work.
According to a Comic Relief survey published this week, people in Edinburgh smile less than the citizens of any other city in Britain. But wouldn't you smile less if you had to spend all summer surrounded by English comedians? Andy, what kind of monkey business is going on in Japan?
Oh, now, shock horror, they found some highly promiscuous lesbian monkeys who actually don't give a monkeys about looking after the kids. They're up for it because normally it's males who seek hundreds of partners, and it's the females who are sort of a bit more conservative. But apparently these lesbian macaques, you know, Friday night, they're in the white stilettos, they're hanging out in discotheques in Newcastle, and they basically they are sexually rampant. I don't think the males of this species stay home and be new monkeys. But anyway,
well, probably male gay monkeys as well, weren't they? Which I'd like the idea of that.
No, actually, to be fair to the lesbian monkeys...
Oh, I've done a nice little banana souffle. I'm fed up with banana, banana, banana. Just
no.
Every time that one comes through the trees, oh, like an ape that swings both ways.
Now, I think for legal reasons, we must get this right. To be fair to the lesbian monkeys, there's not something I've said that often. They are bisexual. They're not fussy.
I think you mean the lesbian monkey community.
That's I do mean that. The lesbian monkey community of these Japanese macaques, I think they're not fussy.
Why do we have to get this legally right? Do you think lesbian macaque monkeys are going to sue?
They're renowned for it. They're very litigious. Them and Robert Maxwell.
Research was carried out by Professor Richard Desmond and will be published in the latest edition of his academic quarterly, Lesbian Asian Monkey Babes. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Linda.
Oh, well, this was sent in by Dan Warham. It's from the Evesham Journal. Insect burns in fire. Firefighters were called to a house in South Lytton to remove the charred remains of an insect. The creature had seemingly met its match in the form of an electric uplighter. On arrival, the firemen located the source, the roasted fragments of a household pest. A fire service spokesman said, "We removed what was left of the insect. There was little else we could do."
I've not read the story. I just like the headline from the Scotsman. Author of Ways to Avoid World's Dangerous Places Kidnapped in Colombia.
Amanda.
My cutting is from, oh God, it's from the Norwich Eastern Daily Press. Sent in by Peter Brown. And it says, the Dereham and District Branch of Cats Protection stages an open day tomorrow at its shelter at Horrod Farm, Longham. The event is being held to mark the start of Cats Protection Week and will feature a raffle, stalls, refreshments, and a fancy dress competition for children with the theme, Dress Up as a Dog.
Andy.
In the current highly charged political atmosphere, I think this is a very dangerous misprint. It's sent in by Alan Liz Larrymore, and it says, fabric is one of the easiest ways to create a new look. Introduce powerful batik wall hangings or a bold rug in vibrant colours. Cover windows with fragile muslins.
Thank you all. Now let's look at the final score. Linda and Mark have lots of points, but Armando and Andy have even more. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the brochure of the Cumbrian Literature Festival.
Wildlife Day ticket, £25, does not include Sue McGregor.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Linda Smith, Mark Steele, Amanda Iannucci, and Andy Hamilton. The chairman was Simon Hoggett, and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The chairman's script was written by George Pohl, Simon Littlefield, and Paul McKenzie, and the producer was Simon Nichols.